And believe me, if I'm getting too personal, just let me know.
No, it's fine. I'm not worried about talking about the divorce.
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the challenges. One of the things that I love about, you know, diving into the world of Leah Bach is that regardless of what's happening in your personal or professional life, there seems to be a really big well of commonality between the two. I don't see a big separation between Leah the person and Leah the realtor. And that, I think, is hugely for the good, because I believe in authenticity, especially in branding.
No, I totally agree. I think that it is. And I think the challenge is that it's very vulnerable, which is why the comedy was part of it, because it's the vulnerability. It's the, you know, this is my 12th year in real estate. And as you said, the X years. I'm not a spring chicken, if you know what I mean.
I'm a little older than you, so believe me. Bark, bark.
Bark, bark. I think I might have told my age actually on the video.
And that's how I know I'm older than you.
Okay, fair enough. But it was difficult. This I didn't wake up beginning my real estate career, which was my second career, right? I quit other things to do this, and I didn't come from a sales background, and I didn't come from a marketing background. So what I decided was I needed for my well-being to be entirely who I was, forward-facing for everyone that wanted to see it. I know I'm not for everybody, and that's okay.
Oh my God, I love that, because that's how I live my life. And I think that's part of the wisdom that comes with being a little bit older. When you're young, you try to be friends with everybody. You try to front in incredible ways. Sure. You know, you do things that you frankly don't like because you're told you're supposed to like it. And then you get to the age where you're like, no, I don't like that. No,
not doing that.
And by the way, you can't handle the heat in my kitchen, so I'm okay with you leaving the kitchen. If you know what I mean, in terms of personality and stuff like that. So what you're talking about is having a level of fearlessness, or what I would call educated fear, which is, I'm afraid of doing this, but I'm also not going to be debilitated by the fear. So you, and again, I only know this because you shared it on YouTube and I found it. You actually did a stand-up comedy class. Is that correct, up there in the BC?
Yeah, I did. I did a couple of things. I started taking archery, for one. So I started shooting things with bow and arrows. And I really loved that. And I made a whole new group of friends. And I also sit on a board of directors. One of the board members had brought up, and he was a funny guy. He's not as funny as me, but he was a funny guy. And he said, you know, I'm thinking of taking this comedy class. And I'm like, is there a comedy class? I've never even heard of such a thing. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's do it together. And he didn't do it. He jammed. And everything about showing up that first day where they get you right on stage. And I love talking in public. I've learned years ago that if you want to listen to me talk and you want to pay me to talk, I'm like, check, check, win. So I was like, I wasn't scared about getting up, but I didn't realize how soul bearing it would end up being. Because it has to be, comedy has to be honest and it has to be funny. And between the two of them, you are telling people a lot about who you are as a person. And I was going through some painful stuff. And so to be able to get up there, like the first, when it started to get really fearful, like when they started to get to the point where we're writing jokes and we're actually going to have to go on stage and present all this stuff we're telling to people, people were quitting all over the place. And I said to myself, if you quit now, you will never get over this hump where the good stuff is on the other side of the fear. So you're going to knuckle down. You're going to do the work. Even if you have to not do any other work, you're going to do a good job and you're going to finish. And that routine is a result of not quitting.
And I applaud you for it, because your authenticity comes through it. You're a little bit of, I smelled a little fear. You know, I think that's
a lot of fear. I went blank before I went up. I'm standing there waiting for my turn and I've gone blank. I cannot remember a single joke. And the first 2 minutes kind of reflect, oh yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, you didn't stop. You kept going and you did what I advise so many people to do. And that is burn the fear out of you by doing it. And, you know, a lot of people are now talking about live streaming, you know, and a lot of people are doing live streaming. And do you live stream, or are most of your videos kind of post-edited?
No, the only ones that I do that are edited at all are the ones that I do as the Instagram and Facebook introductions to my regular videos. Those are the only ones that are edited professionally. I don't even know if they change the color. I don't know what they do. It's an outsourced solution. Everything else I do for myself is completely organic and natural. Now, I am, however, starting to stock up on a couple of things to just improve the quality a little tiny bit, to be able to get a gimbal so that this, it's a little bit smoother. I'm less concerned about lighting and other things, but I am really going to focus on transcription services, because I think transcription services are super important, because I don't always go back to a video that doesn't have it if I'm just like watching TV. But if it's there in writing, I'll be like, oh, isn't that interesting, you know? So I think transcription service is really meaningful. So I'm going to add that into the complement. But I'm starting to do more myself. I'm starting to use home video. And that's what I'm doing, is I created a little studio here and I'm starting to buy some equipment, just because I think that it is worthwhile. People spend money on real estate, and I think that you should get a quality product as well. So that means you should do things well. How you do one thing is essentially how you do everything. But I'm not looking to make it look like one of those, you know how they have the ladies with the car that the thing opens and they put their foot up, you know, they put their high heels out and the skirt hiking up. And that's not how we're rolling over at Leah Bach.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
The reason I wanted to ask you about that live streaming is that a lot of people are looking at it, and especially what I would call performative professions like real estate, where you have opportunities every time you see a new home to do a live video.
Yes.
You have an opportunity to introduce sections or neighborhoods of town that could be used into really nice short videos that you could take some of your clients and point them to and say, hey, if you want to kind of 5 minutes on every neighborhood that we'll be looking in, I have a channel on my YouTube channel. I'm your fourth subscriber, by the way, on YouTube.
On my to-do list this week, clean up YouTube channel.
Let's just say last posting 3 years ago. Don't feel bad about that, because we all can't do everything. But what I kind of heard you saying that is that you're layering on a level of professionalism, not necessarily high toned Hollywood production values, but simply adding transcriptions are helpful, especially pro tip, get that transcription, put it on your website below the video, because all that will be then searchable by the Googles, and that HTML type will help you with your SEO.
That's great, because you know what I find really makes a difference? I don't spend anything on AdWords.
Yeah.
Like nothing, because all of my search is organic because of my reviews.
This is why I love you. You are as organic as a...
I feel like I should get a cornflower or something. Well,
you're as organic as a pair of Birkenstocks.
Ooh.
You know, no, I'm thinking of our, what is it called? It's where you take your potato peels and you put it in the pile to...
Compost?
Yeah, compost. You're as organic as a compost pile.
Wow, you get away with the ladies, DP.
I do, which is why I retained my virginity way into college. Let's just put it that. Much information, but that's what Leah brings out in you, a whole lot of information. By the way, I'm talking to Leah Bach. I didn't introduce you in the first episode, but that's okay, because Leah Bach is so cool. You're going to want to seek her out online. You can find her at leahbach.com. That's LEAHBACH.com, even though she's in the Canada. And seriously, just go to the website, poke around her professional website, and look at that picture of Beach Girl. I mean, it looks like it should be on a Beach Boy cover, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of like I almost expect to see some surfboards on the hood of that thing or on the top of that car.
And some of my social media does show that I do surf, actually.
Oh,
and
cool.
And paddleboard. And so we went to Hawaii. I took the kids last Christmas. Oh, I was so thankful to get away with them for that time, because they are older, right? They don't always want to spend time with their mom.
Yeah.
We went surfing and it was awesome.
Awesome. Well, I want to talk to you about kind of the strategy that you take on your social media, because as I obviously your website is very 100% professional, you know, realtor oriented. You've got Instagram, which is, I'm going to say 75% professional with a smattering of personal, you know, just to kind of humanize you and all that stuff, which I think is great. And your Facebook is understandably very family, very personal oriented, right?
The Instagram strategy, when I started, I did very much the branding, the blue, the planning, the quotes. Like if you go deep into the old Instagram, which I probably should delete, but I just never get around to it. That's a good outsourced solution. I should look into that actually.
You know, I got to tell you, I would leave it because it makes a great journey for people to go on. And you can even say, listen, when I started on an Instagram, I was doing what everybody else does, inspirational quotes, you know, or pictures of, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then you can see it develop as I decided to reveal more and more of who I am authentically, primarily as a professional. I don't see a whole lot of swimsuit chats in here. And doesn't mean that there's not one of your kids on longboards out in Hawaii, you know? So cool. There appears to be something more than just a, I'm being authentic vomit. It appears that there's more of a, I'm being authentic strategically, what I love to call strategic authenticity.
I look at it as it's a reflection of my life. Instagram is different things happen in different places. The Facebook is more, it's more placeholderish to me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I like Facebook, but I don't spend that much time in the Facebook realm anymore. So it's more about engaging with the neighbors, staying in touch with the people in the neighborhood, doing a little bit about the house, a little bit about the market. And then I am planning on selling my own home. So I thought it would be interesting just to do a off-the-cuff video tips on getting your home ready for market. What am I doing really in my own home to get ready for sale? Because I believe everyone underestimates how long it takes to bring a house up to the level where they can get all the money that they could possibly get. But it doesn't need to be expensive. It just needs to be thoughtful. And it takes time if you want to do it for free. So that's where the video sort of series started of just doing the makeupless, hair in the messy bun. This is what I'm working on the house today. So that's Facebook. And I'll probably add more personal video there than on Instagram. I don't know that Instagram drives a lot of marketing. It's sort of like just a social proof place so far. I'm not seeing much more than a social proof sort of evidence of existence. But there I look at it as the storyboard is my life. I work a lot. And when I'm not working, I'm working out at the gym, I'm driving my Jeep, or I'm out surfing or cooking. I love to cook. So I just throw the stuff that I love and that you may love it too. And if you don't love it, well then, you know, I'm probably not your people. And that's okay. Go find your people.
That's really interesting because most realtors would take it from the point of view of everybody's my people. And I must attract everybody all the time. Therefore, I'm going to be not specific in any little way whatsoever. And it appears to me that you're just really comfortable in your own skin, whether it's your professional skin or your personal skin.
Yeah, I work on it. I work on it. Like I read, the separation was hard. I went into therapy. I went and saw a counselor to help me work through my stuff in a way that was, you know, as fast as I really could. I wanted to clean it up, right? And in that process, what I learned was that your gift to the world is just exactly what you are. And you won't be for everyone. And you'll know that you won't be for everyone. And you're doing a great job if people don't like you.
Oh my God. Oh, guess what the poll quote from this episode is going to be. But it's so flipping true.
It has to be. It has to be true.
Yeah. And your voice is valuable because you're the only one who has it.
Exactly. It's the reason everybody's valuable. They all have a truth. They all have something to share. They all have a gift. It's whether or not they'll show it or give it or recognize it. Because a lot of people are scared to be themselves.
Yeah. You know, I work in advertising and I feel guilty about it from the point of view that advertising has convinced us that we have to do certain things a certain way and have a certain lifestyle. But I see a lot of that breaking down as people discover, no, there's nothing wrong with me being 25 years old and bumming my way through Europe and Southeast Asia and crewing on a boat for a while. By the way, without going into too much psychodrama, the funny thing is people in my familial group are very free spirit. I'm thinking about one person in particular, and this kid is one, well, he's not a kid anymore, but he's one of those guys. My wife and I used to say he could fall in a pile of manure and come out smelling like a rose because he ends up in, you know, I don't know, Martinique, and he doesn't have a job. He ends up crewing on a rich guy's yacht. That rich guy hires him to go to Burning Man with him. He does such a great job kind of running things. He puts him as manager at a restaurant. Now he's the owner. But it's just this serendipitous goodness that happens because he truly is being authentically himself, which is, you know, I don't think I'm going to be comfortable working as a mortgage broker or, a banker or something like that.
Oh yeah, totally. I got a kid like that. She's 17 years old, saved up a lot of money and went with her boyfriend to Australia and Asia for a year. Then she came back, saved up more money, got in her little van that she created and drove through Mexico for 8 months. And if COVID hadn't hit, she'd probably be in Europe today. And it's the same thing. It's like those that take care of themselves and take initiative, knowing that everything is figure outable.
Right.
Knowing that everything is figure outable, those people that take advantage, you know, to those who are given, everything will come, right? They just, because they take initiative. You get it done because it's important and you care and you have integrity. And it's like people recognize that and they love it. And then good things happen because you work, you make the sacrifice.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, ROTOMA. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary yesterday, and they threw a quote up on the screen and I can't remember it perfectly, but it was along the lines of, you know, near the end of your life, you're not going to look back and regret the things you did. You're going to regret the things you didn't do.
Didn't do. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And again, to take this out of a drum circle confessional, let's say this applies really very specifically to people creating a personal brand and understanding what a personal brand is. It's not about having a logo. I wanted to ask you this, because a lot of realtors, obviously you work for a firm, you know, a brokerage or something like that, but your website is leobach.com.
Yeah.
It's not some layer that you reside under. It's not a company name. What is your thinking behind having leobach.com?
Because I think that the brand, that the affiliation link, you know, who your brokerage is a small portion of what you are. I think that it's important that your brokerage brand is congruent with your own brand, right? I mean, I wouldn't be the agent that I am if I worked for some of the other brokerages. I won't go into why. But I chose RE/MAX because it's a national brand, well-respected. I like the whole idea of classy, sassy, and a little smart-assy because that is sort of what I am. I'm stable and conservative with a cream cheese frosting of humor, sensibility, and love. And between those two things, that responsibility base, being responsible for other people, taking that very seriously, that seems to be a RE/MAX trait, right? It's a long-standing, reliable brand, and that's me. I'm reliable. You know I'm going to show up. So that is a fit, but the rest of it is me, and I can take me anywhere and I can apply another brand. If something happened to RE/MAX tomorrow, they had a terrible accident, they made some really bad choices like Volkswagen.
Right.
Right. I don't want to be affiliated with that. So I need to know that my goodwill, my brand, I can take with me everywhere I go. So it leads. Not top end crazy, not low rent, RE/MAX. Nice solid brand.
Well, and this is one of those things I want to outline and highlight for people. that she just said, her brand is portable and it goes out the door with her whenever she has to go out the door. There's an old advertising saying that the ad agency goes down the elevator every day. And what they mean by that is it's the people in the ad agency that make the ad agency. That's the old school definition of an ad agency. Now it's, you know, where ad agencies are going is they're so programized. They're so AI driven. They're so SEO optimized and all that stuff that the human element is rapidly being taken out of things. And I love to scream at anybody working in an ad agency right now. What do you think about your job there is that AI couldn't do better? Like if you're a media buyer, you buy media for TV ads or print ads or anything like that. Do you think AI is not going to be able to get a better rate than you? Maybe not yet, but within 5 years, 10 years on the outside, if you're a media buyer, you're out of a job. So you better stop doing the job and start building a brand that allows you to take everything you know, your what I would call your expertise, and apply that wherever they need that expertise.
The ad agency business to me is fascinating because the creativity of some of the things that you've seen, it's just like, wow, how did you ever come up with that idea? Do you know what I mean? I find advertising super interesting.
Yeah, well, that side of advertising is, and thankfully I've been able to work on that side of the fence, the creative side of the fence in advertising. And frankly, that's the side of the advertising fence that is not immediately replaceable by our AI overlords. But there will come a time where they'll create good enough work that it will supplant the job of a whole lot of people. So my goal is, if I'm a copywriter or a creative director, I have to think like I'm already out of a job. But if I'm a personal brand that builds my level of notoriety, you know, people are aware of me, they understand what I do, how I do it, I'm going to be better off than if I'm just an engine behind a wall. If I said, what's your favorite TV ad? And then said, who wrote it or who came up the idea? Nobody knows. Nobody's name's on that. Well, guess what? Somebody did, and they're probably brilliant, and you don't know them, and they haven't done the work that they should be doing for themselves, which is create a personal brand. Why? Because then you can be like Leah Bach and say, I'm taking my brand on the road because you no longer fit my brand. How cool is that? So why, as a realtor, do you go to social media marketing world? Was that your first one?
No, that was number six.
Whoa.
Because what I think is that, one, I don't watch TV. I have a TV, but I don't have cable. And I grew up without TV. My parents never had TV in the house. We traveled all over the world and maybe some newspaper. And when the internet started taking off, like I bought my first computer and learned code and cleaned it up and did all that stuff. But what I knew for sure is that there's going to be a shift, and it's going to be a big shift. And it was coming when print advertising, I couldn't afford TV ads. I couldn't afford radio ads. I could do print, but it seemed so environmentally unfriendly, which goes against one of my core values, right? That I needed a way to be able to tell people that I'm here to help them. And so how could I do that if I didn't have these huge resources behind me? I could hire an agency for $500 a month, but when you're first starting, that's a lot of change, right?
Right.
So I decided that what I would do is I would invest in myself. I would learn how things are done. I think people are getting ripped off right, left, and center by these social media companies, the Facebook ad ones, because the metrics you're measuring and what you're buying, you have no idea. They're spending pennies and they're selling you a couple of numbers. You think it's okay, and you don't realize it's like everybody else's showing up on the same feeds. It's a waste of money. The Dutch woman in me does not like wasting money. The beginner in me knew that I could understand it and do it better, but I needed some help. You know, really, truly, I should probably go to the conversion one too, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of going to conversion, I would outsource that and I will focus on the things that are important to me, which is being social, being connected to people, telling them the story of who I am. And if they're interested in the story of who I am and they trust and believe in me, then I can work for them and use that social media to help leverage the eyeballs on their particular properties. And I get a lot of eyeballs. Like my engagement is very high. I don't have a lot of followers, but my engagement is through the roof. I didn't buy the 10,000 free followers for $100. So, and I can measure engagement on the individual posts against the followers. So I can tell who's got real numbers. And my people get a lot of eyeballs on their listings, and people call me to see those listings from the social media, which is where the Instagram comes.
Well, I think we're kindred spirits, because I cannot tell you, well, I can tell you this. How much money have I ever spent on Google ads, any of that stuff? And the answer is zero. Everything I do is organic, or what I like to call carbon-based social media, which is, if you saw me post, it's because I just posted it. I didn't schedule it. And believe me, I know it's not optimized. And I know I could be getting better engagement or followers or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I also know this about me. I'm like you. I've reached the age of authenticity, which is, homie, don't play that. I just don't do that. I am not interested. But I will, if I think there's the possibility of making a real human connection, I will do what I did with you, which is, hey, Leah, want to come on my podcast? I'd love to talk to you about what you're doing, because I love that picture of you in your car.
My girlfriend Carly did that for me, actually. So I used to do the professional headshots. I used to go to a guy that did actor and actress headshots. That was his gig. And I would go, and they were nice, but they were also stuffy. And I am not stuffy. And I felt that it told the wrong story about who I am. So I hired Carly to come and take some authentic in the street kind of stuff. And she took that picture and she said, that's the one. And I said, oh, look at my nose. It's all wrinkly. And she's like, it's the one. And she was right. It was the one that when I looked at it, I see myself too. And that's what I want you to see. I want you to see me. And I know that I can show up and be how I come across, because it's organic. It's exactly who I am. And that's all I put out. I don't optimize either. I don't do I don't schedule my posts at 12 noon, 12:09, 12:15. I've seen them, but you know what? My followers like my stuff regardless of when I post.
That's right. Because they like you, because they've gotten to know the real you.
Yeah.
So if you want to see the photo we're talking about, go to leahbach.com. That's LEAHBACH.com. You'll see it halfway down the page. You'll be able to meet Leah in her natural habitat, which appears to be what was the 70s, a Chevy or something?
60s Chevy. I don't know the exact year. It's not my car. It's one of my neighbors. And the funny story is, the reason why I'm giggling like an idiot in that picture is because I'm wearing my high heels and a suit. And I'm in like 4-inch heels because, you know, that's this look. And I'm crouched in the car holding on to that steering wheel for dear life, because there's no seats in the car. I'm just like,
but it looks great. And the best part is, it doesn't just look great. I think it's entirely authentic to the Leah Bach that I've gotten to know over the past two episodes of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Now, Leah, if people wanted to get in touch with you or get connected to you in some way, how can they go about doing that?
Well, you can reach out to me via my website. There's a little bubble on the right-hand side. You can go ahead. I have a Calendly as well on my website. So if you want to chat anytime, just book me out. Or you can call. I mean, my cell phone is on 604-345-5345. You can follow me on Instagram at Leah Bach Realtor, or Leah Bach Realtor on Facebook as well. So super easy. My Twitter, a little harder to find, is a play on my last name, Debacle, at DEBACHLE. So I'm all over. Just take a look. You'll find me. I mean, I'm Googleable.
Once you get to know her, you will definitely want to Google her, because she's just so damn personable. And I've really enjoyed our conversation. This is the end of this second episode with Leah Bach, realtor from Vancouver, BC, Canada. But I hope it's not our last. So maybe, you know, 6 months down the road, would you be up for coming back on the pod?
Absolutely. Because you still haven't dissected, I think, deeply enough that stand-up that I think you were going to get into. But
that's a whole like week-long series, let me tell you. There's some psychotherapy in there that... Well, let's not go into it now, but let's just say in the future, maybe we'll touch more on it.
And if you can't wait, then dating tips for everyone.
There you go. I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and I'd like to remind you to like, subscribe, refer, and review this podcast to just about anybody, because that, especially that review part, is going to help people find us. And I really appreciate you listening. And she is
Leah Bach with RE/MAX Performance in Vancouver, British Columbia.
That's right. So if you're in Canada, and especially out in the BC, check out leahbach.com. That's it for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.